Welcome back to The Takeaway. I'm Arun Vanagopal. When you think of the world's great magicians, you think of Houdini, Copperfield, Penn and Teller.
Come on!
Maybe others, but not necessarily Adelaide Herman, one of the world's first successful female magicians known as the Queen of Magic. For almost two centuries, sexism excluded women from magic clubs and kept female magicians from achieving the type of fame their male counterparts enjoyed, leaving many potential female magicians without role models and roadmaps into the industry.
I was always interested in magic as a child, but there was nowhere for me to learn how to do magic as a girl.
That's Margaret Steele, a magician and magic historian, but she says the barriers to women in magic are starting to change. In the last few years, the International Magician Society and the Academy of Magical Arts have reported significant increases in the number of female members and women taking classes at their magic schools. Yet, even with these strides, there's still a long way to go for women in magic. The Society of American Magicians, the oldest magic organization in the world, only has 300 active female members out of 4,000. That's around 7.5%. I asked Margaret Steele to take us back to the origins of this gender disparity.
Holders of the secrets in magic have always been men. The gatekeepers have always been men. The secret is the magician's livelihood. So they have a vested interest throughout time of not sharing the secrets. So they wanted to keep everybody out, and that certainly included women. But magic began about 200 years ago, and at that time in Europe and everywhere, there were very clearly defined gender roles, and these gender roles were very polarized, and they were mandatory. So men had all the power, and men were the magicians, and women were always the assistants.
Often there just for sort of cuteness or sex appeal.
Well, that's what they want you to think. But actually, this is why the culture of magic and gender inequality is kind of hard-baked into the actual art, because that's what you're supposed to think. You're supposed to think that the magician's assistant is a vapid, just pretty little thing. But because of that, she is flying under the radar, and you don't suspect her. So she can get away with anything.
Oh, so she's part of the ruse.
Absolutely, she's part of the ruse.
Mm.
So she's flying under the radar, and she is the secret, special, hidden assistant because of that. You're not suspecting her.
So right now we're seeing that at the national and international level, all these magic organizations are reporting pretty significant growth in the number of women who are interested in performing magic. Is this something you're observing firsthand?
Absolutely. I'm seeing that the culture is finally presenting women magicians. But we need to distinguish between the culture of magic and the craft of magic, because those are two different things. The culture of magic is the magic societies, the magic clubs. And the magicians you're seeing now are coming out of that culture. The magic clubs that present to the public are still draw from that culture. The magic television shows draw from that culture. But the magic craft is different. The skills can be used in lots of different ways. So there are actually a lot of magicians out there, women doing magic, that are not part of that culture at all, that are making very good livings. For example, there's one branch of magic, very large branch of magic, that it's actually even an advantage to be a woman, and that would be magic for children and families.
Hmm. But how do you, if you're trying to kind of break this sort of closed society of professional magicians, people who have something to share, but essentially have control over this body of knowledge, how does one as a young woman go about doing that?
The good news is they don't have control over the body of knowledge anymore.
Hmm.
There are other ways to find it. You absolutely need a teacher
mm-hmm.
to do magic, but it's all in books and it's all in videos now. So you can learn how to get started. And one of the paradoxes of magic is that it's actually very egalitarian. If you can find a way to learn the skills and put the work in. Magic on a high level takes years of work and practice. But if you put the work in and speak the language of magic, you're invited in. You're able to be part of that culture. But the problem is it's a very insular, ingrained culture that has not had much feminine influence for a very long time. So the culture itself is what needs to be modernized.
And so what kind of backlash do you see from the male gatekeepers in this world?
I got a lot of backlash when I was starting because there early on, there was a lot of hostility to women in magic. And there were actually magicians who were hostile to me, and they would say, girls can't do magic. It wasn't women, it was girls.
They would actually say that.
Oh, sure. Girls can't do magic. Girls shouldn't do magic. But most of them have passed on. And magicians want women. They just don't understand why the culture isn't comfortable for women. And it's very entrenched. And it's definitely a boys' club. And my point is that we don't have to do magic the same way. The archetype of the magician is a very strong male archetype. It's the first tarot card, the magician with the powerful magician with the wand, almost a superhero. And my point is that we can be equal, but we don't have to be the same. So I think that women can be exploring different ways to do magic. The second tarot card, which is the one that counterbalances the magician, is the High Priestess. Hmm. And that's a character and an archetype that can be explored more deeply.
When we think about the 20th century, the turn of the 20th century, it was more common to see women as mentalists or psychics rather than magicians. Is there a reason for that, why we saw women perform these types of illusions rather than the ones we typically associate with stage magic?
Well, yes, because you had to have the access to the secrets, but also at that time, that was the time of the spiritualist movement.
Mm.
And many of the spiritualists were women, and they were using the same tricks, but they weren't using them as magic tricks. They were using them as a vehicle to actually convince people that they were communicating with their dead relatives. And magicians didn't like this very much, but that was a niche that women could exploit. The archetype of the magician is a man displaying his powers, holding a wand. And society has always been much more comfortable with a man displaying his powers than with a woman displaying her powers. Even now, society treats women and men displaying power differently. So imagine what it was like 100, 150 years ago. So a psychic has the powers expressed through them. They're not the originator of the power.
So we're seeing all these young women entering magic. It's becoming more visible. We're still not seeing these female magicians getting TV specials like David Blaine or headlining Las Vegas like David Copperfield. Is that something we can expect? I would think that Netflix or the like would really tap into something, and there'd be a lot of viewers for this. But are these kinds of talents on the horizon?
They're on the horizon, and they're also in the past. There have been women that have headlined Las Vegas shows. There have been women that have had TV specials. Not lately, but there have been, and there definitely will be again, because there are some incredible talents out there now.
Who should we keep an eye out for?
Carissa Hendricks, for sure. She's an up-and-coming magician, but there are also magicians you're not seeing that are doing incredible work, too. She's an established woman, one of the great magicians of the 20th century, male or female, who's not in the magic community anymore. Her name is Lisa Mena, and she is working with an organization called Cause to Wonder that travels to indigenous and poor communities all over the world using magic to help the lives of women and people.
Wow.
There's a lot that's going on beyond the magic culture. So we see magic as entertainment, and it's wonderful. Magic as entertainment is a wonderful thing, but the craft of magic and the tools of magic are very powerful and can be used in many different ways.
Margaret Steele is a magician, magic historian, and the editor of Adelaide Herman, Queen of Magic, Memoirs, Published Writings, and Collected Ephemera. Margaret, thanks so much for talking with me.
Thank you.
And Margaret was gracious enough to perform some magic for us here in the studio. You can see one of her illusions by heading to our Instagram page or finding us on Twitter or Facebook.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing.
Or politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.